Austin, we're ready to close.
We're ready to close. We signed the APA.
Nice. I saw that. Thanks, Danny and Andrew, for handling that.
I signed it late though and missed the wire window for today, so we got a wire tomorrow.
Cool. I just sent 100 grand because that was my wire limit. So whenever that hits the bank, I'll send the next 100 grand immediately following.
It's good. I don't think we'll wire the second part till Friday.
Cool. I'll have a. I don't know if the first 100 grand will hit today or first thing tomorrow morning, but either or, I'll get the other one right over after that.
Tomorrow, I think it's a 1:30 cutoff west my time.
Yeah, then it'll probably hit tomorrow morning then.
Yeah.
Cool.
Found a cool article on this Japanese kid that is doing almost like an acquire.com thing, but in
Yeah.
Japan, and he's a Billy. He's obviously taking a cut and doing the transaction for these guys, which frankly, I think like the marketplace idea is it's very Silicon Valley to approach it in that way. And I'm sure Gezdek, you'll be very successful in what he's built. But the capturing all the value of all the M&A transactions going through Acquire would obviously be a way higher dollar amount than charging us whatever they charge us a year.
Yeah, sorry. What did you say? You said the kid in Japan is what, and he's doing what?
He sold a company in Japan and was like, oh, this process sucks. Like everybody that's ever gone through that process
And
knows.
made you you and said and made a bunch of money, you're saying.
He made some money on that sale, but his b really big win was setting up an M&A advisory firm in Japan because they have the same thing going on, the sort of what's it called, the silver tide or something, where all these people are retiring and hitting retirement age and nobody, how do they unload the laundromat that they own or the storage facility?
Just like all the mom and pop businesses that are expected to trade over the next 10 years, effectively.
Yeah, but he's
Yeah.
doing it just in Japan.
Cool. What's the name of that website? Do you know?
I threw the it's a Forbes article. I threw it in our Slack channel.
Cool. I'll check it out. Yeah, I remember, I mean, I didn't even know who, I think I've told you this guy before. I didn't even know who the hell good Gazdecki was, but when he launched Acquire, I reached out to him like super early on, like literally within a couple days of it like hitting the market. I was like, yo, can I invest? And then little did I know that fucking 100 million or whatever from selling his company to a private equity firm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting concept. He seems to have a lot of traction. I wonder like how like Empire Flippers and all those other guys that were doing the online, marketplace brokerage. I wonder if like QuietLight and all those folks, I wonder how much they're being impacted by Gazdecki, because it seems to be like a lot of stuff is starting to funnel into Acquire. And I don't know if it's happening or not. I mean, I know he's like focused on getting all the SaaS tools, but I don't know if I've seen like this newsletter Deuce that's like focused on newsletter acquisitions, and then you have all like the original ones. And what's the other one that's relatively big? Yeah, I think there's a lot of them out there. It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
Yeah, marketplaces, that's one where it feels like it's kind of a winner take all. Like, I don't want to, there's really not that much. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of ways to carve out a small niche in a big market, but I feel like this is going to just be one king. And it used to be like an Empire Flippers, but that thing sucks.
Yeah, the other one I was thinking of was Flippa and like FE
Flippa.
and FE International. Like
Yeah.
I feel like Gazdecki is slowly but surely just gonna steamroll those guys.
100%. Red, well, I think there's always going to be some people that want representation of some kind. But for the
But
most part,
he's building that in-house now, right?
yeah, I'd be worried.
Yeah, did you guys see where Empire Flippers spun out like their investment arm? It's called Web Street or something, I think.
No.
Where they're like, yeah, check out webstreet.co. Pretty interesting. Well, basically, this is something that we could actually look at too. Basically, raising money from like retail investors. And buying businesses and then splitting the cash flows between Web Street, the platform, the operator, and the investors. But I've raised like 4 or 5 million bucks. I looked at doing some of the early on deals, and then I just didn't because I was like time and wanted to start doing direct deals with y'all. But there's a lot of like interesting ancillary businesses that are building off of these platforms. Yeah, so Empire Flippers like rebranded the Web Street, which is like their investment arm where they're taking in retail. They were just calling it Empire Flippers Capital for a while.
Outside of all the handoff stuff, we did get confirmation tomorrow that we can wire the 300. Mercury gave back to us and said that we could. They increased our wire limit to that, so shouldn't be a problem.
Nice. So, Danny, the timing next week, I imagine you're going to be just off. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably just it'll be like very sporadic, most likely. Like I won't be sitting in front of my desk. So it'll be just kind of off and on, but I mean, I'll have my computer on, but yeah, just it'll be kind of hit or miss depending.
What do you want me to take over?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, to be honest, like as long as we're like you feel good about having all the tech and the tech is like functional and working, I have like a checklist in terms of all the things that Mark needs to hand off in terms of like Calendly links. I kind of pinpointed all the places on the website where like his Calendly link is located, all of the emails and stuff, and have some of like the basic stuff we need to do in Stripe. So like to be honest, like I think it should be fairly like on cruise. Like if a meeting like pops up, you know, on a calendar, like those kinds of things are fine to take. So I don't suspect too many things need to like get bled over to you or even like to Mark. I think it should be fine.
Yeah, the first week is just going to be us figuring out the lay of the land anyways. I will have to ping Irfan, the developer, to change those Calendly links and stuff, I'd imagine. So,
Yeah, do we know where is the website custom? Is that why?
well, the app's custom. If there's stuff outside of the landing page, then we'll have to replace it.
Yeah.
I think the I don't think that the app is custom.
Okay.
Maybe it is to meta web development. I don't know. I don't really, that wasn't like a concern of mine. I don't really care that much.
Okay. Yeah, I suspect it's
Oh, it's just a WordPress thing.
okay. Yeah, and this one's to be honest, like the huge burden that this would have been like is if they were like a non US based entity. Like this one's very easy where we can just put our bank account in there and I don't think we need to like set up a new Stripe account or anything if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
So
Swap the bank accounts and update the info of the business info in there.
yeah.
Yeah, that's a game changer, not having to do that, it seems like.
Mean, I don't know how we could do that with or like it would just be an insane
Yeah.
thing with so many.
Also, the risk associated with that with a much bigger customer base is would be pretty.
Did we want to use the XO Cap Mercury account for this one?
XO Cap Inc.
Yeah.
I would like to have this just if nothing else for liability's sake. This is a sizable enough thing that we should probably have it in its own LLC, and I think we can just use that C Corp for now.
I agree.
And just put it in there so at least there's a wall.
Is that the only, will that be the only thing in that C Corp?
What do you want the answer to that question to be?
Well, my only thing is I think it's going to be relatively profitable if we're not running a lot of costs through it, and make sure we want to avoid double taxation on the C Corp. So if we can get enough cost into it where it's break even or shift enough cost over, I think it's fine. I just want to be careful, like the thing showing, $100,000 of profit at the end of the year, and we're getting taxed, double taxed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get the double taxation piece. The part I don't know about, maybe we'll have to ping an accountant, is if we are taking a fee for our services as
Yes.
XO Capital GP,
Perfect. we're good there. So he can just bill whatever the profit is from the, to over to the C Corp.
Yeah, because it's wholly owned by our LLC. So I think there's...
Yes, the XO Capital GP and then the C Corp's down here.
Correct.
Great. And then at the end of the year, if we have $100,000 profit, we can just bill them $100,000 for our time and it pays us only $5,000. Yeah, I'm good with that. I think we put it in the C Corp.
I think I have to double check on the C Corp. It might actually be us personally. It might not be the, because we just did, Danny, when you did that, it was through First Base, yeah?
Yeah, what's your question?
Our LLC, XO Cap GP LLC, is that the owner of the C Corp or is it us as individuals?
I think it's us as individuals.
And it's fine. Then we can still bill it, Andrew. I mean, it's just one company, one than other. It's just owned by the same three individuals. I think it's actually probably cleaner as them two standalone entity that are owned by individuals, maybe except for liability protection purposes. But I think we get the same protection in a C Corp that we get in an LLC probably.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it's just worth pinging my accountant just to check and make sure that that's above the board. You know what I mean? To bill it at the exact amount of the profits.
Yeah, I mean, well, we would come up with some like whatever $10,000 a month or $20,000 a month that our time is worth to bill, and maybe we show that we really want to show the C Corp at a loss. I think for at least the time being, or break even or a loss, just so it's not getting double taxed.
Yeah, agreed. Well, could be fun. We could set up like some payroll. Could get some cash out of this thing.
Yeah, that or that too. Correct. Yeah. Either way, it doesn't really matter as long as we're not getting doubled. All I'm trying to avoid is some stupid, like us just forgetting about it and some like stupid double taxation thing that just was.
But yeah, other than that, I think that we'll just need to, once we take over the assets, put our heads together, Danny, and figure out what we want to attack first. Irfan is 50 an hour, which is a lot. He's in Pakistan, but Mark said he's pretty efficient, so... He wants to do 10-hour. I should clarify if it's 10 hours a week or 10 hours a month as a minimum.
Wouldn't Mark pay him $4,000 a month, if my memory serves me correctly? Kind of like retainer almost?
Yeah, 3 to 4.
Yeah, I bet he meant a week, because that would be $500 a week, which is $2,000 a month, which is half of the four. But we should ask. That's a good question.
It's a big deal. Limit to 10 hours per month minimum.
Okay, good.
I mean, he might like after this payday, he might want to like chill or take a break or something. I don't know. His interaction with you, he didn't seem all too excited about
working.
Yeah, I thought that. And then I'm pretty sure it's just a language barrier.
Is it worth talking to him real quick on the phone or not? Or on the Google Meet?
I'm not super worried about it. It's pretty stable. Pablo can get in there and start to learn it too, and he can be like a second.
Yeah, okay, cool. As long as we think we're covered from, because I know, Danny, you said the tech stack's a little different than our normal tech stack.
Yeah, it's a little older. I'm not really concerned about anything. Finding a PHP developer is really easy if worst case scenario. So it's almost like I view it as with all of our other acquisitions, there's actually like a huge risk that we like fail to take over the technology successfully. And in this case, we have one developer who knows this, at least the backend language, which is what I'm more worried about. I can go in and figure it out too. And also, in like, we have a bonus in this case where here's a dude that like built most of it, if not all of it, at like, you know, a relatively cheap dollars per hour that can help keep the system up for not that much money per month. It just feels like an extra safety net thing, which is why I'm even less concerned. Like on a normal acquisition.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah, it's still not clear to me whether this thing is going to be like a rewrite or not. I think, you know, we'll get our feet wet and start checking things out. But the market's moving really, really fast. And I think it'll be important to keep up. Mm. And this tech stack, I don't think, is going to take us where we want to get to. I mean, I guess it could, but at a certain point, it might be like, okay, well, for the next acquirers, right? If we ever do sell this thing, it might be worth it to have like a tech refresh.
Yeah,
it's just a nice box to check when somebody's like, oh, what's the tech stack, and it's all like just super modern stuff.
But timeline wise like when you say things are moving fast and we kind of need to stay on pace, like this isn't like a 3-month thing, more like a 10 to 12 month thing
to rebuild it,
like when we need to breach that conversation again.
I don't have a clear sense of where to take this thing yet, to be honest. I still want to just kind of get in there, feel it out, make some minor improvements and some minor changes, and we might be able to build a V2 like in parallel while having Irfan just kind of man the helm on the existing one at $500 a month, which is, you know, peanuts, while our team is working on V2.
Yeah.
And kind of incrementally do it that way. That might be kind of a safe.
Yeah.
Be a safe way to do it. And then for a while, just leave it as like, you can, here's the V2. Oh, you don't like it? You know, let us know. Like, we want to hear that feedback, but also the V1 is still available.
Yeah. What's the material consequence for like a tech stack being like behind?
The finding developers, there's stuff like security. So like, it won't get as many security updates anymore. There's no like really, sorry, this, my whole life is just killing spiders. So stuff is not getting updated. So like, there might be new packages, like open source stuff, new stuff comes out all the time. You might be on like such an old version of a thing that like, I don't know, let's take on the front end, this thing is in Angular. All the rest of our stuff is in React. There might be like a really cool React package that makes it really easy for us to build that interface to do the drag and drop for the different paragraphs and shit, right? We wouldn't be able to use that because we're on Angular version like 2009, right? And nobody's writing for that stuff anymore. So all the cool advancements are not available to you. So yeah, security, finding developers, people don't want to work on it. People don't know it. Stuff that's broken is unlikely to get fixed. Like a package that has a weird bug is unlikely to get fixed. It's also harder to like for existing people to jump in and learn like a older way of doing things. That also kind of sucks and has like a little bit of a cost to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's plenty of dead end jobs out there that pay super well to babysit a very, very old system. In fact, our entire banking system is that. It's like literally running on mainframes. They're like, the banking industry is like the number one purchaser of new mainframes today.
Yeah, I believe that.
They have a shit ton of old code, and it's just a bunch of people that know this particular language that's really old and nobody really uses anymore, and they get paid to babysit that system.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's my buddy sells to like commercial banks, and he's like, once you're in, the software like add-ons are so incredibly sticky.
He sells mainframes?
No. He sells software to commercial banks, but just in general, I think like their willingness to change and move at any sort of speed that is, you know, somewhat faster than very, very slow is like almost non-existent. So like once you have your software placed, it's like incredibly sticky for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
Did you, Andrew, have any opinion on the Basecamp guys moving to on-prem or like getting their own servers instead of on being on the cloud?
I forget what his whole thing, up in arms thing about it was. I think it's just cheaper. Like it's a weird, like you don't know how little this stuff actually costs. Like the stuff that you might pay Google or Amazon, like $25 a month, plus like their bandwidth horseshit, is literally like a $12 garbage ass thing from China. And if you have the know-how for doing on-prem stuff, there's, you know, it's great. You just have to have like, there's a minimum threshold where it makes sense. It's called like a co-location.
Yeah.
So you just rent like a rack in a data center. And there's all different like variants of this. Like, you could go to the data center and say like, you know, I want to purchase like this many like racks, and then you buy the hardware. And then there's like everything in between from that. Like just here's basically like some, like the internet plug and like power all the way to like AWS. And so there's providers everywhere in between. that like take away some of the pain of doing that. But yeah, like I would be super comfortable moving all of our shit onto a colo somewhere.
Yeah.
Because we don't really have like the stuff that would be hard would be screenshot API, for instance. We really make use of that function where it can scale up really, really huge. Like we might have 40 containers, 50 containers when it gets hot, and then it goes down to 2 at like 1 a.m. when nobody's using it. That's hard because on-prem, like you just have literal physical limitations of how much compute is available.
Interesting. Yeah. I think his bill was like $3 million for AWS, and his like spending on servers now is like $600K or something.
Yeah.
But it was in like people were talking about it because they're bootstrapped, like, you know, people who are, it was just an interesting discussion as like a bootstrap business to care about this versus somebody who is venture backed and has a lot of somebody else's money, like caring less about this kind of stuff. It was pretty interesting, I guess.
In other words, that's an additional $2 million a year in his pocket or him and his co-founder's pocket.
Yeah,
the hardware is pretty commoditized at this point. There's a lot of great, you know, you just Google what to buy. You know, it's not like, it's not a huge deal to figure out something like this. And for them too, they have like a really consistent customer base with a really consistent, I'd imagine, like growth rate. And so it's very easy to predict usage and how many servers, and that wouldn't be a huge function.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. It's very cool. It's very cool. I don't know why more people, I think, will do it. Like AWS costs in particular for storage. I think I told you this one weekend, I like, you know, fat fingered a function on Amazon and like it racked up an $80,000 bill over the weekend. And I came in on Monday and I was like, what? And we're like, listen, we're not going to pay that. Okay. Anyways.
Well, I mean, it doesn't isn't like some absurd small amount of Amazon sales from AWS, but 50% of their profit comes from AWS?
Yes.
I think it's something like crazy stat like that. So, I mean, I imagine the margin is very good for them.
Extremely good.
Yeah.
Extremely good. Everybody knows it too, but it's a scale game.
Yeah.
I don't know how you would you don't want to compete with Google, Azure, AWS, but it is an interesting thing to go after the base camps of the world and say, we'll lower your cloud costs 80% by moving to our, you know, our co-location.
Yeah.
Just rent rack space from us.
The comment you said about the 2 to 50, Andrew, is why a lot of people just stick with AWS, or at some point in time, it doesn't make sense for us to do it right now, but at some point in time in the future, it may.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make sense for us now. I mean, we're starting to spend $4,000 a month.
Yeah.
After this one, Growth Bar will be, I don't think that's that expensive. I can't imagine it's that expensive.
Yeah.
I forget what the P&L said, but it didn't jump out at me. Anything else we wanted to go over? Growth Bar, anything else? You guys feel good about it? I surprisingly I was nervous/excited when I had to sell I just had like money in a money market fund. And then once I wired it over to our bank account, I just like, I'm not nervous about it. I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm not nervous about it, man. What's the worst thing that happens is the freaking, it goes belly up and we lose it. I mean, but we got to try this. And this feels like one we've done a lot of diligence on, and feels like a really good opportunity to make a good bet with a diversified customer base in a growing market. We got to do it at some point. So I'd much rather do it sooner than later.
Yeah. Any of the other companies you want to talk about, Danny?
We got a big product launch for analytics tomorrow. So kind of where that falls. And yeah, Shebest kind of ended the month pretty well, kind of added a few more dollars per day on the ads. We're still like well below 500. I'm just kind of slowly creeping it up just to see if it has like a material effect on it. Yeah. And then Shivansh and I have got some things to help our cold DM customers, some ways to like lists of leads off of Twitter, kind of like what you did, Andrew, on like LinkedIn and stuff. building some little hacks that we can share with the community, and basically building ColdDM as like a nice sender tool. So just little stuff like that, that will be ramping up. But the end of June looks like all the businesses are sort of on a slight uptick versus kind of early to mid June. It kind of, everything was sort of down except Screenshot, which has kind of stayed the same and slowly continued to go up a little. Yeah. There's some interesting growth stuff that we're planning to do across all of the businesses in some form or fashion, whether it's more like kind of event based, like partnership based things, or automating more blog posts. So we got rid of like the blog writing from Lana. We're doing basically some AI like editor stuff with Shivansh and Roanne. They're basically finding articles to kind of replicate and then using AI to write it. So we were pumping that out, 4 articles per month per company. We started that a couple weeks ago. So yeah, everything's kind of moving along a little bit like that.
And Shivansh is owning that process?
Yeah.
And he's using Growth Bar to do it?
No, he's just using ChatGPT.
Yeah. But we're going to have to dog food that. Like he needs to be using Growth Bar.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that we should make a good college effort to attempt to follow the best practices that are in Growth Bar and see if that has different results, because there's, just based on my limited experience with this stuff, there is a difference between just getting the output from ChatGPT and actually getting good rankings for stuff.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, we're outside of like the keywords and like all of the suggestions. Yeah, like we haven't followed that. We've essentially just rewritten ones that have ranked well. So basically we're taking like the top ranking articles for specific keywords, and then he's just rewriting them with a different set of like a different tone and things like that. So I do think, yeah, we'll definitely dog food it and see if it has kind of a material effect on it.
But yeah, back to the SEO stuff. Yeah, I just want to give that a shot, because Lana's stuff that she wrote ranks the highest for me.
Yeah.
On SuperSend, for example. And it's like, okay, well, I tried plenty of ChatGPT generated articles that are not ranking for shit.
Yeah.
And that was fully the intent.
The one thing is that makes, at least for me, like what made Growth Bar interesting compared to maybe like some of the AI things is, you have a lot of SEO agencies using it. I mean, I think Lana in your message, she used WriteSonic, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, WriteSonic is like, they're huge in this space. And so those, like, I think Growth Bar, ClearScope, WriteSonic, they definitely have an edge in specifically like understanding kind of the SEO component. And so, yeah, we'll definitely dog food that.
What are the tasks we're working on for support guy? Are we doing anything actively for that right now?
Yeah, we're doing a couple things. The Slack bot is waiting for submission and getting accepted in the directory. But like you could test it in our Slack. It should be live in there. And then adding the lead fields, adding the ability to like close and refresh a conversation, and then being able to denote which articles or document uploads have been uploaded successfully or unsuccessfully. Those are like the 4 main tasks that are being worked on right now.
Excellent. Pablo's on all of that, or is it?
Well, Enrique was working on half of those, but he's been on pause as he's been doing that queuing thing for ColdDM.
The queuing thing should be done. I did the queuing thing. All he needed to do was have like a little endpoint. Maybe I'll jump on the stand up tomorrow and just get a pulse on why that was in my head. That's like a 2-hour task.
I think he should have had it done by today, and then he should be back on the support guy things that are in the queue for him.
Do we have the one developer overseeing the other developers now, Danny?
No, not necessarily. Yeah. They're all sort of running in their own lanes. The change that we made was one person being like sort of dedicated to helping the support stuff. So all three of them aren't being pulled from one direction or another.
Yeah. Okay.
As like a non-developer, I have zero, like, I mean, I have a rough idea on how long something should take, but I also really don't.
Yeah.
And
question for you, like when we hire someone, we put them like through a pretty intense like Excel test and kind of case study test. Does that like exist for a developer when you're hiring? Like, can you put them through some sort of like OKR development test? And does it even if it cost us a little bit of money, does it make sense to try and do that to like? I'm just asking a question. I have no idea. I'm just.
Oh yeah, there's like coding challenges and platforms that provide those types of coding challenges. It's not always like the best indication of performance. Hiring engineers is weird. That's why those like large tech companies have like literally six interviews. The real issue though is that like it takes an insane amount of time to vet these guys.
Yeah, to vet engineers.
Yeah, and then my hit rate on hiring is like maybe 50%. It's like, it's I don't know. Maybe you've had better luck than I have, but it's just really, really difficult.
Yeah, it is incredibly difficult. And you 50% because of the rate we're paying, obviously, right?
I just mean 50%. They're a long-term fit for.
Yeah. Okay.
Average tenure, by the way, at these big like FAANG companies is sub 2 years.
Just because they hop from company to company because of like the one, because like what do they call them, 10x engineers or whatever, like one, a really good one's more valuable than like 10 or 50 of mediocre ones.
I don't even think it's that. I think it's just people like want fresh new stuff and they get tired and they get better pay. Again, that might have been a symptom of zero interest rate environment, but it's certainly not happening anymore.
Yeah. I have a feeling it's slowed down a little bit. But that makes sense.
I want full-time people on our payroll.
Yep.
He's a full-time freelancer.
Got it.
But possibly, I mean, I don't know what his other skill sets are outside of this tech stack. But, I mean, there's not, it is a bigger business, but, like, you look at this P&L, there's not a ton of room.
Yeah, I mean, especially after our payment.
I mean, we are in some ways without the, you know, we're going to be pretty limited in how much we use that developer. Although the paid marketing and the paid, all that stuff looks like it's kind of stopped. And so it's up to like 15,000 in EBITDA.
Yeah, that's kind of where I shook out on it. It's like we're gonna have the ability to choose if we spend that marketing or not, but it's really about 15 grand a month is what we're buying.
Yeah, so after the payment there's gonna be like three.
Yeah, there's nothing. Hopefully our whatchamacallit payments basically offset the majority of that. They offset almost 60 or 70% of it, right?
Yeah, it should. We have 122,000 left.
Yeah, versus 200 that we owe.
Correct.
So, yeah, 60-ish percent.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's the thing that it's hard because it does take a lot of time to find these people, and it's hard to find people who are willing or who are good that will commit full time. And then, you know, we're trying to find these people in specific regions of the world.
I think for the right person, it's really attractive to be able to like switch.
I think so too. Yeah. Yeah. What really I think pissed me off, I think, was like, we're competing against, and this is like also for me, is like, we have six businesses, generally those six five companies or whatever, they're competing against like small startups, like bootstrapped indie hackers who like their life is built around that product, and we're competing against them. And we have a fractional person like doing that. I feel like they're just getting, they're just moving while this thing is kind of sitting still. and in just like a fickle environment and what like where these tools play, like you just kind of have to keep providing some ways that keep people around.
So maybe we get rid of that one too. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, that's definitely crossed my mind to just kind of do that. But
I think that, like, let's say the people thing was solved today. We're still going to have the same constraint of more product than people. And my hope was that Inlytics would get on the path of screenshot and sheet best. And maybe it's there now. Maybe we like just crossed that point, like within the past couple of weeks. And we can just focus on growth stuff. But if that's not the case and it continues to need like a lot of TLC, that just doesn't work.
I mean,
not that I'm worried about some random indie hacker, but it's like the broader point of like a young agile team has everything on the line. We don't want to be competing head to head with that. And that's my concern with Growth Bar, to be honest, is that this market's moving super fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess like in my head, although like letting it go, like letting something go, I feel like it doesn't actually solve the root of the problem. I think like, at least in our stage, when we have more product than people, like, I think that's a problem worth solving for, right? Like because we can't just go out for and look for things that can just sit there and it'll just grow over time. Like those things, you know, sheet best and screenshot, like I think those are few and far between, and there's no characteristics we can point to for those guys and be like, let's go find more of those, you know.
Okay.
I think we kind of have to figure it out, and I think one step or one experiment is solving the people thing.
Yeah, but so my comma after that was, if we, let's say we sold ColdDM Inlytics support guy, we just have screenshot, sheet best, and then Growth Bar. Growth Bar is really at the size that we could staff a full like 10,000 a month worth of salary to like one or two people and have that be a thing. And I was talking with somebody at SureSwift, reached out to me, just had a cool chat. He's one of the GMs there, and he's like, basically very few people there run multiple businesses.
Yeah,
some do, and then even fewer run like three.
Oh, totally.
So like the game, I think maybe just shared services suck. You have to staff individually, and we need to buy more revenue to be able to support something like that. And if we can recycle capital into another Growth Bar, and we just have two then, but they each make 300 grand a year, that's just a very different model. And sounds like peaceful and lovely, you know, in a lot of ways.
I think that's our ultimate goal of where we probably, and I think that's the ultimate goal of where we probably want to try and get to.
Yeah.
With my gut, like knowing what we know over the past, whatever, 24 months.
Yeah. I think we might keep screenshot and sheet best forever just because they're little gems and there's just not that much to them. Yeah, support guy might have just been like a little bit of an angsty buy. Although, who knows, right? It could still, if we really step on the gas once these features are launched, I do still want to see how that plays out once we put some like effort behind marketing and growth on that thing and just see if it catches a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a function of it all, I think, is also, you know, decisions and things that have happened like outside of a people or a product thing, or like product meaning the software itself. Like, you know, ColdDM, like I think it was actually in a pretty decent place, and then all this shit happened, and like,
yeah,
that you know, we have to fix those things, and so that's taking up time. And then like, you know, Inlytics was also one of those where we decided to do a rewrite. It did what it, you know, it, that took a long time, and so the material effect of that was, you know, was unfortunate. So I think like from that perspective, and then support guy, yeah, I mean, I think I still think it's a pretty interesting bet. It's just, I think it's a bigger thing than just, you know, trying, it's not one of those that you can just let it sit and you know, accrue customers.
100%. Yeah, I get that.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know if we want to, I don't know, time box some of the decisions to like sell, but I do want to see like what comes out of getting cold DM to a place. Like that market is like literally disappearing. Like people on Twitter are literally saying their product doesn't function anymore. You know, it's like, so I wonder what that looks like on the other side in the next couple of weeks, you know?
And it's a huge opportunity.
Yeah.
The demand is there.
Yeah. And I don't think like that one is like, that one is like a sheet best screenshot where like, it just needs to do like three things. And if it does those three things well, like people will pay $20 for it or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think that one is going to require a bunch of love continuously. And analytics, I think maybe slightly different, but like, you know, could it get to a place where it does? Like, I mean, you know, maybe, but that one, it just seems like there's a lot of stuff coming out more recently as we've tried to track some of this stuff. But I hear you. I think eventually, like, we just want to have two big boys that, you know, it's a little bit more peaceful and not scrambling for revenue.
If we can't find more screenshots and sheet bests, buying these little things is death by 1,000 cuts. And if cold DM in 2 months doesn't get on that screenshot API or sheet best path where it's no more engineering work, stuff just, you know, Elon like takes the stick out of his ass and quits fucking around with the Twitter API and that just gets stable and we can, you know, build around it or whatever. If we can't get there in like 2 or 3 months, then.
Okay. I think that's a good timeline.
On analytics in the next 6 months, I don't really want to take a hit in this calendar year again for another sale. Because we're going to have to be paying taxes on these things.
Yep.
If there's any, profit.
We should also get some depreciation with our new acquisitions, though, Andrew. So I don't really know how that's all going to work out. We also get some depreciation of the base that's going to offset some of those taxes on the sales.
We need
more sophisticated from an accounting perspective, help us think through that. We should probably start looking at that now versus, you know,
January, February.
Yeah. This deal's about to fund.
Yeah, I mean, analytics, I would love to start seeing some growth. I mean, the thing is just like, it's not too bad. And I can't just tell, there's like, it's summer, nobody's around. You know, I know there's no talk of recession, but there certainly is like tightening of the spending purse.
Yeah, it seems like this talk's gone away, but I have a feeling it's coming back.
What, the recession talks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you heard Powell today talk about they're not done.
Yeah. There seems to be some sort of, like, new energy that's popped up over the past 30 to 60 days, but...
It's tech.
Yeah, I don't believe it's going to stay.
Support guy, I feel like, should be on the six-month plan.
Okay.
And same with analytics, too. I mean, analytics is on the growth path now, but, like, it's still not totally clear to me what that means. In some way, engineering's, like, pretty linear. It's pretty clear for a lot of these things. It's not, like, a lot of, like, I don't know. We know what we're going to get out of the input. Like, we put in a certain amount of hours to fix certain things. We kind of know what we're going to get out of it. Marketing's obviously not like that, but an idea that's just coming to me is like hire a growth person full time, whatever that means to us.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all up on my Twitter doing giveaways and they're, you know, doing like direct outreach for like analytics or something and just put them on analytics for a while and just see what can be done there. Because if we start pushing and nothing's happening, then that to me is like, okay, let's just.
That's our answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. I, more than, like I would actually just want more than a growth person, just have another engineer, because none of these products actually, and this is sort of where I feel a little worthless, is like a lot of these things, like there's a lot of product things that you can do to grow, and those things just move slow. And that's, I guess, where my frustration was like this weekend. It was like, there's just things that I'd like to see in the product that could like the in-app messages and things that are like more trigger based and things like it. Those are things that are like in the backlog in our, for our, on our engineering board. And like, it's taking time to get to that. And it's like making me mad that like, I can't do it, or somebody, we don't have a resource to like do that. I do long term though. I do agree, Henry. Like, and yeah, these small ones just like they're like a like soul suck.
Yeah, there's a reason that like SureSwift and Tiny and PE firms go after certain size companies, right? It's like a certain scale that the profits to reinvest or distribute. You reinvest if you can generate higher return than distributing it out, right? And if you can't, you distribute it and do something else with it. But I feel like, this is the one we're buying tomorrow is the first kind of bet in that direction, which is a good feeling. But I do like, Andrew, what both you and Danny are saying about like the ones that aren't, that are kind of just doing this, right? They're not really doing this. They're not just kind of doing it's like, let's just have an execution strategy on them for an agreed amount of time. And let's review the execution strategy at the end of that time period. And then we either just make a, it's working, or it even might be working a little bit, but it's not working enough for us. And we think that capital is more valuable to redeploy and we can exit. I think that's the best decision, or I think that's the best path forward, in my opinion, just kind of listening to you guys. Whatever the time frame is, 3-6 months, I think we laid out 3 months for cold dealing and great.
Yeah, because if we can scrape together like 200 grand, if we can scrape together like 200 grand from selling, analytics, this is just in theory, analytics, cold DM, and support guy. And we could go then buy, with maybe putting in additional capital, like another 10K of MRRs, another single business. And then we have one doing 25 and one doing 10. I think that's just like a simpler way to live. And then, of course, Screenshot and CheapVest, because they're little gems.
It's definitely easier from an operational perspective. It's got to be. I assume it is. You guys tell me, but I would assume it is.
Oh, yeah, 1,000%. I think the thing that, like the engineering thing, I think that we'll figure that out. Trim down the surface area, the number of products, increase the MRR per product that we buy at the onset, maybe pay a little bit more for a higher quality developer, less headaches, and then eventually have a GM when we can buy a sizable business or they grow up to a certain point.
Yeah.
And if we can double, like, if we can double Growth Bar, that in my opinion is already at the point where you could get somebody for like, I don't know, 70 grand, 60 grand to come in that's young and hungry and be like kind of the full-time GM and one full-time developer. And then that's a cool thing.
Yeah, we got to just grow. The key for us is we got to be able to grow what we're buying to a certain size, right? If we can buy something with enough scale, but grow it to a size to where you can put a GM in, that just changes the game for us.
Well, I think like the right now, because yeah, I, of course, I think it would be great to buy things that are at the size where we could, because like, if we bought something that was doing $1,000 of MRR, like that's a pretty large mountain to climb to get it to a point where we can get a GM there. Like it would have to be like in a really good product in a very large market, like executed very, very well to like climb that mountain. So for us, like buying something that's kind of halfway there is what Growth Bar is. But I do think I'm hearing like Andrew's argument correctly with some of these, it's like the cost to get them to grow is not worth it versus Sheep S and Screenshot. We're doing literally nothing. We're putting a little bit in and they're still growing or maintaining its sort of level. And I think if we can get there and they're at, you know, each of them are at like 5K MRR, 5-6K MRR for Sheep Best, Screenshot, and Cold DM, like that would be very great. And then with analytics, I think that bar is a little bit higher, but I think if we can get there, or if we see signs of getting there over the, you know, next 3 to 6 months, you know, and they don't need a ton of work, like I think it'd be cool to keep those around unless we need the cash.
Including analytics?
Yeah, I mean, if it's on an upward path, unless we need the cash, right? Unless we need the 200K to go buy something. But if we see it growing and it's gain, you know, and at the end of the year, if it's at like 7,500.
Yeah, a whole different story.
I think it might be worth just keeping. But again, unless we just have something we want to go buy for a bigger dollar amount.
Well, it's the opportunity cost of if it's flat, which is why it might make sense to just time gate it, because if it's flat and it's generating like 55 grand a year, that's going to take us another 3 years to get our 150 back that we're trying to hit. Like that doesn't make sense. I'd rather just sell it and put that money somewhere else. Yeah. In something we think we could make more productive use of the cash with, like something that's growing a little bit more.
I think it all depends on the growth.
Well, then wouldn't we want to just do that now then for analytics?
No, because I don't think since the V2, we've really given it enough of a push on the marketing front to like try and grow it.
I agree with what Andrew's saying there. Didn't the V2 get done like what, 45 days ago?
Yes. Maybe I misunderstood what you're saying, but yeah, I mean.
I'm just saying if after 6 months analytics continues to be flat and we've put in the old college try on the marketing front, then I think we should sell it.
Right.
If it starts to tick upward, right, and it gets on that like 3% month over month on average, great. Gravy.
Yeah.
It's a total, okay. Totally different. Yeah, it's a totally different deal. I agree with exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, the original thesis for the small ones is like, where's our alpha going to come from? Like if, let's say, I mean, Twitter aside, like all that stuff that's going on, Cold DM, we bought it at a great price. We like 10x it very quickly. And that would be if we could sell it for like, you know, 50 grand or something, or 75 grand, that'd be a great little, that's a great little nest egg for us to go then redeploy somewhere else if we feel like it's topping out or we've taken it as far as we want to.
Yep.
That was kind of the idea with the smaller ones. But when they don't hit, that's like, I mean, it's like a founder that has a business idea that doesn't fail immediately or succeed immediately. It's sort of like in the middle.
Yep.
And you just spend the next 8 years of your life just fucking trying to milk a rock, you know?
Yep. Yep. I think we were saying the same thing. Yeah. I mean, I think if we can get it to 6,000-7,000 and moving upwards for that, I feel that would give me good signs that it's doing what we want it to do.
Well, April of 2022 is at 5,000, and that looks to be like, according to Stripe, the highest it's ever been. Except for April of 2023, maybe some annual stuff coming in, was $5,061. But yeah, 5,000 is as big as it's ever been.
We literally bought it at its like absolute peak.
I know. But we're only $300 off from that now, right? So
yeah, we're fine. I mean, like if you held the thing in forever, like, and it just stayed at 5,000, it would be like a pretty good investment. It yields, you know, 30% a year on the investment, which is pretty fucking damn good. It's just really small. The dollars are really small.
Well, it's not good for the relative to the rest of the portfolio or past performance.
That's right. And when we're talking about dollars that are so small, we got to be looking for higher alpha stuff.
Do you guys have any thoughts on next steps after? I know Growth Bar is going to take most of our headspace, as it rightly should, for the next little while here. But you guys thought about like what's next after that? Does that like flip fund idea feel?
Yeah, Andrew, have you had any conversations with investors about that, by the way, or no?
A couple people are still pinging me from the email newsletter.
How many total people reached out to you, just out of curiosity?
Four.
Four, yeah.
But that brings our potential investor list to 67. Some of these are dead. For sure, some of these are dead. But I mean, I've never really beat the drum on that.
Yeah, but if you had, 8-10% hit rate at 50 grand a clip, it's $500,000.
Yep.
Mark used a broker.
He used the Acquires broker.
Internal.
Which is great. We have a good rep. They know about us.
Yeah, I actually did an interview, or not an interview, a talk with one of their product guys, letting them know about our experience. And so I think we have a good rep, or Andrew does, on the platform. I let him know that we all talk through Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew has a good rep. It's a good rep for all of us. So that's the way I look at it.
Agreed.
Not according to LinkedIn. They kick me off of that shit like at least once a month.
I love it.
So on the maybe we need to talk to a lawyer about this. The hard part about when we go to raise this thing is you can't like post publicly because it won't be like a Reg A or Reg C or whatever the fuck the right reg is.
Yeah.
However, if we're not raising but talking about raising, and there is no fund, there is no entity, there's no dollars being taken in, I'm pretty sure I can shout that from the rooftops. There's no active fundraising.
Yeah. Right? I think all you're doing is just creating an SPE LLC. It's not a fund. It's like a specific investment that someone's coming into. But
yeah, but that doesn't matter. That's still solicitation of investment.
Yeah.
But if that entity doesn't exist and I'm saying, hey, we're thinking about doing this, can we have a chat? And it's like all potential. I don't think that violates anything because we're not taking in actual dollars. There is no entity that we're raising for. Meaning I need to use my social stuff and the email list, of course, but a lot more of the social stuff to get more interest wider than our net on this investor list, as well as on the blog. And I don't think we can have an entity while I'm doing it.
You can talk about a flip fund or whatever and people reach out to you, and then you could, you're credited. I signed up for something the other day that this girl's doing. It's like SMB Deal Hunter. And she's like, at the bottom of her thing, it's like, reply to me, reply LP if you're interested in being an LP, right? And then she has the direct line of communication with that person, kind of like we have with 67 people that have reached out to us via our. It's like, well, fuck it. At that point, we have a direct line of communication. We're not soliciting or anything, right?
Blog, I think, is that, right? That's I think our blog is fair game. I think there's a lot of lurkers that have been like waiting, and they would only find out about it if I start tweeting about it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Also, I'll send you this. I liked how she kind of buried it in the bottom of her email, I just thought it was pretty interesting because I bet she has a lot of people just responding to her that they are interested. Because there's people out there actively looking for deals. In the bottom of our emails, which she has it buried in the bottom of her email.
Once we're actively raising, for sure. I'm not super worried about that part. It's the getting a bigger list of people interested before we're actively raising and being able to post that on social media. That's what I really need to be able to do. And I'm pretty sure it is free and clear if we do not currently have a fund and we just are talking about potentially doing a thing. I don't think that violates anything.
I don't think it does either. Just states what you're potentially thinking about doing.
That'll be a big deal, though. That'll probably be like 100 Zoom calls for me.
Yeah, I think it will. It'll be a lot of work to get the first one done. for sure. Happy to participate on as many of those as possible.
All right. Well, let's get Growth Bar under our belts, and then we'll give it a month or so just to.
I think the flip flan idea is it's cool. It's an it even for somebody like me who's not like a very finance savvy person makes sense from an investment perspective.
But that's why it's so fucking compelling. It's like the doggy daycare business. It's so easy to explain.
Yeah.
What are we gonna do with my money? We're gonna buy one company. When do I get my money out? 12 to 24 months.
Yeah.
You know, like, what's your history? We've done 10 of these. It's just, it feels like very clear. How much are you raising? Like $500,000, nothing crazy. What's the minimum? Like 25 grand. Like a lot of people can reach that, you know?
Yep.
God forbid the thing take off and people want to be bought out in 12 or 24 months. And we're, you know, are able to buy them out with cash flow. And like, the thing is, once you have control of something, that you have control of the GP in, right? If you have no big LPs, then they can't dictate terms. Like, you basically can, they're, no one's going to look at the fucking docs. So, like, a $25,000 investor isn't going to read a LLC agreement. They're just not.
Yeah.
Right. So, you just basically can put in there that you have, you know, control. Yeah. And if the things, and if we deem the thing growing fast enough that we don't want to flip it, then we say, you know, we can go to the investors and say, hey, guys, the thing's growing at whatever, 2x a year. We think it's much more advantageous to continue to hold for another couple of years. And most everybody's going to be like, yeah, I support you, or no, I don't. And the few that don't, you just try and figure out a way to get them out to keep them happy.
Yeah.
Because all deals change, right? Or maybe you realize 3 months in you bought something that's shitty and going to be stable, and you just sell it for what your basis is, and you give their investors their money back, and people will appreciate that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, Danny, at the end of the day, I think it's what you just said is exactly why I think people find it compelling. Simplicity.
Yeah.
It's brandable too. I kind of want to copyright it or something.
It is brandable. Did you put the little like trademark or sign beside it, Andrew?
Yeah. I did, but just as a joke.
I saw that. I thought that was funny. I laughed. It is brandable. Is the flip fund or flip fund websites available?
Domains.
Yeah, domains. The flip fund.
Oh man, how did I not look up or buy 6 domains around this idea? I buy so many domains.
I know you do. That's why I was asking. I was kind of already expecting you to say you owned one.
I buy the dumbest domains.
I did it for a long time, and then I realized I was like not doing anything with them. So I was just like, well.
All right. Flip.fund is $8,500.
Jeez. Yeah, it's a great idea.
Flipfund.xyz is $2.
There you go. That feels like good value.
I'm not gonna buy it. There's plenty of options available.
There's a lot of people getting laid off. Zapier did their first layoff ever today.
Who works there again? You have somebody that works there, right?
My sister does.
That's right.
Yeah.
She is okay.
Yeah, she's okay. But she was surprised. But I don't think it's because I think they're just cutting some of the fat, not because they're not technically doing poorly. I think they took very little investment after graduating YC, so I don't think they have any pressure from anybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of people don't got jobs at the moment.
Wow, so Zapier went through YC and never took additional rounds, Danny?
I don't think so.
Good for fucking them.
You can, I mean, you look up Zapier fundraising, the first thing that you see is pulled off a one and done approach. So
I love it.
Crunchbase thinks they raised at 1.4. So like,
yeah, but that sounds about right. They were a $5 billion valuation in 2021.
Can you imagine? Jesus.
Total funding amount, 1.4 million. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. I just assume that that's just like, I know this thing exists for people, but I just assume I'm not going to be one of those people, you know, that starts a company, raises like not that much money, and then it's just like literally printing.
You know, it's generally the things that other people did once they started the thing off the ground that really, I think, took it forward.
What do you mean? Outside of the founders?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? Like the key employees that they hired and the value that they added?
Mm-hmm.
No.
But that's a skill, man. That's so hard to do.
Well, I think that's why, like, even the really good, smart founders that start something fail, because it's really hard to do that over and over and over again.
Yeah. I bought FlipFund.xyz, by the way.
Nice.
Couldn't help it. It was $2.
That's the Andrew I know.
Irrational and impulsive. That's exactly who you want leading a private equity company.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
All right, friends. Well, this is, as always, my favorite meeting of the week.
We can be as rational and impulsive as we want to be with our own money, Andrew.
Yeah, I know. I do very much wish we were all in the same city and went into an office together every day. I think quality of life for me would be much, much higher if that were the case.
Agreed.
Well, we got to get, I told you, we got to get baller enough to where Danny can just move to LA and, you know, money ain't no problem.
Yeah. Mikey also wants to move to LA too.
Oh, really? Is he in London?
Yeah. He's in like random village well outside of London.
Got it. I was going to say, LA probably ain't that much cheaper than London, honestly.
No, he's not in the city at all. He's out in the... He describes it as the boonies. It's, yeah, some of those like English villages, they're like one pub towns, you know?
Yep. Let's close the growth bar. And then, like, what do we say? 3 months for Cold DM and 6 months for
Analytics and support guy.
Like that. End of the year.
Yeah.
End of the third quarter and end of the year. And if we feel like we're not getting the traction or something beforehand and we want to make a decision sooner, then we can.
Yeah. Still, though, that part of the execution, I'm more worried about than engineering. I feel like engineering is the thing that we're going to be able to solve, and the growth stuff is still kind of a mystery to me.
Yeah.
Cool.
All righty. Thanks, gentlemen.
Yep.
See you guys.